So I'm the one who's always demanding and preaching accountability, ownership, you know, extreme ownership. A great book written by Jocko and Leif Babin. So I got to be that guy. We go back to the end of hour number two and start hour number three with that. At PHX underscore Nola Girl, a.k.a. Tracy with two E's. I forced this in at the end of the hour. I want to make sure that I read this tweet in full so it doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Quote, why are you reading this crap? This is not why I listen to the show. If I wanted to know at Leffen Laguna's perverted thoughts, I would read his tweets for myself. She's got a very good point. Why am I subjecting her to that? I mean, I'm almost as mad about it as you are, Tracy with two E's. You really are right. Quote, if I wanted to know it, I would read his tweets for myself. Quote, this is not why I listen to the show. Man, Tracy, you're so right. Because you know what? This is not why I host this show. If this is not why you listen to this show, take that intensity and multiply it by 100. Because if this is not why you listen to this show, never mind that there's a bunch of morons that think this is what I do, and this is why they do listen to this show, when you're not supposed to get that on this show. You're right, Tracy. That's not why you listen. And believe me, that's not why I host. Yet here we are. Here the bleep we are.
Here we are.
I have to agree with you.
Here we are.
Trace, everybody who feels the same way she does, you have my word. It will never happen again. You're so right. I shouldn't have done that. But see, this is where I'm different. I am accountable. I am responsible. I will own it. My name is on the marquee. It will never happen again. I can't control what they tweet, but I certainly can control whether or not it sees the light of day on this show. You're right, Tracy. That is so unfair. That is so uncool. You probably, and this would go for every single person listening or watching me right now, with the exception of a few of you who listen and watch every day start to finish, and thank you for that. I know a lot of you drop in and out. We have analytics. We have nerds. We have people who track this and research this. We understand that you only listen for a certain amount of time. So believe it or not, there is a method to my madness. I'm really cognizant of the fact that some of you, many of you, almost all of you will drop in for a certain period of time. Maybe it's 16 minutes. Maybe it's 21 minutes. Maybe it's 9 minutes. But you never know what you're going to drop in on. I know this. I am so cognizant of this. What I don't want is for you to drop in to a segment that's really bad, and that was the 8 minutes you had to give me, and then you're turned off, and you're like, you know what? That show's not what I thought it was. Or that show's not as good as it was the way it used to be. First of all, it is. You just tuned into the wrong 8 minutes. You tuned into the 4 minutes where I read some of Leff's tweets. That'd be like my saying, or you thinking, the entire show is Leff and Laguna doing schlong jokes. It's not. Far from it. It's just what you dropped in on. But as the host, I know this. It's my job to make sure that every damn minute for 3 hours is good because I don't know when you're going to drop in. Like, same thing with the interviews, yo. I understand that if you drop in on an interview that's not a compelling interview, you're going to be like, I had 14 minutes to give to Rome today, and that's what Rome gave to me. It's a long way of saying, I get it. I get it. Tracy, you're right. It will never happen again. Leff, you're going to have to do your schlong show on your schlong account. Hopefully, Tracy, with two E's, you can find it in your heart to forgive me. Hey, even the best make mistakes. All right, so anybody else want to make it better? Leff didn't. Tracy's not having it. All right, so let's move on. So I mentioned I was going to talk about Calvin Ridley. So yesterday at the owners' meeting, the NFL owners did approve a proposal to allow players to start wearing the number zero. And thank you, Jungle Tourette's. It's not that. It's not even like that. I said zero. I said zero.
Zero.
So they're allowed to wear the number zero. And of course, as soon as that was announced, social media does what social media does. And everybody started to Photoshop their favorite player as wearing their now favorite number, zero. Personally, I've never really understood the obsession with that number. But to each their own. And I guess the kids think that's cool. However, one team and one player in particular must have seen this move coming, because moments after that news broke, the news that zero was up for grabs, Jaguar wide receiver Calvin Ridley announced that number was his. You know, first, mine, shotgun, zero. And of course, because he was the guy that was front and center with that, that brought out all the trolls, all the clowns, all the keyboard warriors. And unfortunately, and of course, Calvin just had to respond. Come on, my man. This is day one stuff. Twitter 101. This is one of those compulsory courses that everybody takes as an undergrad. Like when I was in college, Music 114, Music Appreciation, we all took it. Psych 1, we all took it. Anthro 5, we all took it. Twitter 101. I thought every athlete had taken that.
Psych.
They teach you on day number one, do not get hooked by online trolls. But of course, that's exactly what happened. That's what happened as some troll hit Ridley on Twitter with, you know, because, again, Ridley's all about, that's mine, zero, that's my number, that's me. So immediately, quote, the internet has jokes. And one guy hits him with, quote, zero. The amount of good bets Ridley took in that parlay. End of quote. I mean, who couldn't have seen that coming other than the guy himself? Pretty much exactly what you'd expect. Certainly what Ridley should expect. A pro athlete who lost a year of his career to gambling. Trolls are going to do and say anything and everything and respond to everything this guy says going forward and try to twist it into some lame gambling heckle or roast. Anything this guy says going forward, trolls are lying in wait because they have nothing better to do, and they will try and twist it or slam it into some lame gambling joke or heckle. That dude has to know that. Yet somehow, some way, he didn't. How he doesn't know that, I have no idea. Probably the same reason he didn't know not to gamble on the NFL and his own team in the first place. Really good player, really bad decision maker. So, if this guy can't figure this out on his own, you would think that somebody, you would hope that somebody, one person, would have enough sense to tell him, my guy, do not reach for your phone. Don't take the cheese. Don't reach for your phone. Like, Calvin, dude.
Dude.
Like somebody's got to anticipate. Calvin, dude, I know you want that number. I know you want zero. Dude, that's fine. Rock the number. Do whatever you want with the number. Just don't reach for your phone. Don't thumb out anything about the number. Don't. But he did. And as soon as he did, you knew the trolls were all over him. Then that same person who should have told him, don't reach for the phone, should have been saying, dude, don't hit reply. Don't hit reply. Don't do it. Don't do it. So what does Calvin do? The exact opposite of what he should have done. Of course, he hits reply. And what does he thumb out?
Don't do that.
It's incredible. What does he thumb out? Quote, in response to somebody heckling him for gambling, he thumbs out in response, quote, that bleep is behind me. but I won 36K. End of tweet. And, of course, because that tweet was one of the worst ideas ever, it was quickly deleted. And, of course, Calvin doesn't know that that doesn't matter. Calvin doesn't know that the internet is in ink. Calvin doesn't know that you really can't delete anything. You can't. Just because you hit delete doesn't mean it vanished. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Oh, it happened. It happened. If you thumb out something stupid, and if you're somebody who matters, if it's up for even 5 seconds, somebody will grab a screenshot and then it is there forever. Understand? If it's up for even 5 seconds, it might as well be pinned to the top of your own Twitter feed. It never goes anywhere. Even if you think you hit delete it, you know, that same person's like, I don't get it. I deleted it. How is it being retweeted? How is it a snowball rolling downhill? How is it getting so many likes? I deleted it. It doesn't exist. Oh, no, it does, dude. How do you not know this? The internet. Do I have to go over this again? Again in 2023? The Twitter? Still a thing? I still need to go over the rules. Here we go again, very quickly. Here are the rules. There aren't very many. The rules of Twitter. I think I did this 10 years ago. I think I did this 15 years ago, and I was even late to the Twitter party. I remember people saying, dude, when are you joining Twitter? And that was like 09. That's how late I was to the party. I guess I have to do this again. All right. Here are the rules. Don't tweet drunk. Don't tweet angry. And unless you want that tweet to live forever, don't tweet it at all. Those are the rules. Don't tweet drunk. Don't tweet angry. And unless you want that tweet to live forever, do not tweet it at all. But he did. And while the initial smack that the troll ran at him really wasn't even that good, his clapback was all kinds of lame. Think about that for a minute. The dude is bragging that he turned $1,500 into 36 grr. I mean, bro. In a vacuum? Bravo. Good for you. Well done. I've never done that. Well, I have. A couple times in horse racing. But I mean, I've never done that. I've never turned 1,500 into 36 grr. Awesome. However, the difference is, while you won 30K plus gambling, you forfeited your 11.1 million salary that you would have earned had you played last season because you missed the entire year for gambling. So you didn't really win 36 grr gambling. You lost more than 11 mil unless they let you keep that money. And I doubt that. So not only are you not a good gambler, you're arguably the worst gambler. And you're almost as bad at social media as you are gambling if you're that easily hooked by trolls. My man, you're an easy mark. It's like shooting fish in a barrel for these losers. And don't you know that made that guy's day? I'm talking about him. Why are you responding? Why are you giving them what they want? My man. And I was hyped when the Jaguars got you because that's another great weapon for a great young up-and-coming team. I love Duval. I love the Jags. I'm Team Jag. I really am a fan. So I was happy to see you get that opportunity there. My man, because of that, I'm going to give you some friendly advice, whether you want it or not. You apologized. You owned it. You even explained that you were going through a tough time in your life and that it was a major mistake. As apologies go, and as ownership and accountability go, that was actually really good. You actually sounded sorry for what you did as opposed to sorry for the situation you found yourself in. Like, you handled a really bad situation pretty well. At that point, all you needed to do was put your head down. And even more importantly, put your phone down and just go to work. Otherwise, anytime you say or thumb out anything, and it doesn't even matter what it's about, my man. It could be the best thought ever. It could be the most philanthropic thought ever, right? It could make you the best player ever. It could make you the best teammate ever. It could make you the best human being ever. My man, There are losers out there that have nothing better to do. And they are waiting for you to say anything at all.
Loser.
So they can hit you with that gambling smack. And it's always going to be like that going forward. No matter how well you play, no matter how much you give back, no matter how great a human being you are, there will always be trolls. My man, what I'm trying to say to you is that gambling suspension, it's going to travel. It's going to travel to every opposing stadium, every online troll. It's always going to be there. So you've got to know that, and you've got to be a hell of a lot more tactical and a hell of a lot less impulsive and not take the bait. You can't get hooked. If you can't do that, if you don't know that, and you can't handle that, my suggestion is get yourself a flip phone. If you have a flip phone and you've got to hit every letter three times, you are less likely to get hooked or drawn into fights that you cannot win. Get a flip phone. Eyes on the prize, my guy. Keep the main thing. Do work and stop giving losers what they want. Haven't you lost enough already? You lost a year of your career. Put the phone down, put in some earplugs, and go to work. Like if this were, I don't know, another guy who exercises bad judgment, James Kelly, except when he gambles. If it were him, I'd give this guy credit for turning 1,500 into 36 Gurr. But James Kelly's not an NFL wide receiver. And again, Ridley didn't turn 1,500 into 36K. He turned 1,500 into a lost year of his career. My man, if I were you, instead of changing, if you feel that strongly about it, instead of changing your number into zero, you should change it into 36. How about that? The only number that you should be changing your jersey number into is 1,400. As in the 1,400 yards a season that you promised Jag fans. See if the league will let you rock that number, my guy. Put 1,400 on your back. How do guys still not know? Yeah, I know that there are certain people, certain athletes that love it, love the exchange, love setting guys straight, love roasting people, saying, hey, man.
Love to see you.
I'm here, all right? I see what you're doing. I see what you're saying. Have some. But rare is the person that can do that. There are not that many people that skilled at that. Calvin, you're not one of those guys. My man, put the phone down, put the earplugs in, do the work, go to work, be who you are, be that guy, be that WR1, and don't get hooked. Seems like I always have to give that lecture. Not every week, not every month, but it comes up because somebody will always get hooked. Yo, dude, you know what? Here's the thing. They can't do what you can do. Unfortunately, even though what they do is not impressive, you can't do what they can do. Those losers do that all day long. They're waiting for that very opportunity, and you provided it for them. Keep the main thing, man. And the main thing is not engaging trolls. Don't be that guy. Don't be that easy mark. When we come back. That's funny, Chalk. You make me laugh, Chalk. Good one. 1-800-636-8686. That's your telephone number. Use it. I may get to the Browns still yet. I might get to Tom Brady still yet. I would love to get to another good phone call. That'd be great. Hit me up and we will come right back. Don't forget the ATP is still ahead. I've got a Jim Rohn podcast, which I'm going to record and then push out. Mac Brown. Love Mac Brown. He's going to join me long form. That's the Jim Rohn podcast, F261, after the show today. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
So a few things, starting with this. I just learned that Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you've earned, doubled. The cash back from trips, restaurants, doubled. Seriously, though. See terms. Check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Got a guaranteed phone call from a very distinguished individual a professor at a fine institution. That's coming up in a minute. I have to call this guy on this. So I wanted to lay out for you that there is a method to our madness. We have a program, we have a process, and we program accordingly. And I do understand that it's my job to provide 3 hours of the best content every single day. And it doesn't matter how good a show is, we go back to zero the very next day. And my crew understands this. We approach it like this every single day. We never put our feet up. We never rest on our laurels. We never get complacent. And we realize that no matter how great a show is, it doesn't matter. That show's done. What are you going to do tomorrow? Now, the flip side of that is there are days when we don't have very good shows. And not for lack of effort. It just happens. Not every show is great. I know this. I understand this. But the good news is we go back to zero. So even if you have a really bad show, you have a chance to prove yourself again the next day. Point of this whole thing is, I understand that not all of you, or even many of you, can listen start to finish, and that you drop in when you drop in, so it's incumbent upon me to make sure that every single segment is compelling, so you drop in on a compelling segment. They don't pay me to come up with 7 good segments out of 9. I'm supposed to have 9 good segments. So this guy responds. He writes, quote, around 20 years ago, a coworker told me I should try the show out. The first segment I ever heard was Alvy's Week That Was. I tuned in after the intro. I thought my radio was broken. Signed, Trevor in Toronto. 2 takeaways. Number one, I love that that's a Canadian listener. Somebody from Toronto. Because after all, quote, this show was never going to work in Canada. That's somebody in Toronto. Number two, you're lying out your ass. You did not tune in, quote, around 20 years ago and drop in on the Alvy Week That Was segment. Alvy didn't start doing that segment until 2009. June of 2009. Calvin, I wonder, do you have the first ever Week That Was? Dude, I would love... No, this can be fun. Dude, let's see your game then compared to your game now, because your game right now is impeccable. And I'm curious what we were doing and what we sounded like back in 09. I have not previewed this. I have no idea how this is going to sound, but I think this is going to be fun. It was not, quote, around 20 years ago. It was exactly June of 09. Alvin, are you ready? Alvin, stop explaining what it was back then. We have ears. We'll decide for ourselves. Alvin, we understand. Listen, I know that if somebody were to say to me, hey, Rome, why don't we listen to your show when you hosted it back in Santa Barbara in the late 80s? It's understood that I would sound like crap. And I'm not saying you sound like crap. I'm just saying that we get it. We understand that your first ever attempt at the Week That Was in 09 is not going to sound like it sounds now, or even frankly has sounded like the last 8 or 10 years. We all get it. Can we please have it nonetheless? I'm really curious. Alvin, roll the first ever Week That Was, not 20 years ago, but in June of 09. What is up? A tremendous Monday to you. Welcome to the jungle. Yeah! Check out Bret Michaels at the Tony Awards. Check that guy's act. Uh-oh. Doink. Every rose has its thorn, and every award show has its backdrop that will lower and knock your wig cowboy hat off. I mean, that wasn't a little head bump. He got leveled. Jalen Rose joining us.
What's going on, Rome? Great to be back on. I listen.
All right, let me just stop right there. How awesome is this? There was a poison take. My former brother in smack, Jalen Rose, telling me how great it is to be back on in the jungle. I don't remember the last time I talked to Jalen, but he was my brother in smack. I've done this so long. I used to interview Jalen when he was a member of the Fab Five. That's how we became brothers in smack. He ran such amazing brother smack. So this is Alvy's Week That Was in 09. We've already, and he's trying to explain to me in my ear, like, dude, the reason, I'm like, I don't want to hear any of this. I just want to hear the product. We had a poison take. We had an interview with Jalen Rose. I can't wait to hear what else we have, Alvy.
To the show frequently. I watch the TV show daily. We have to get our karma back together, sir.
Donuts.
Baltimore center fielder Adam Jones. Did you or did you not go to Torrey Hunter and say, just so you know, one day that gold glove is mine?
I just told him, you know, I want one of your gold gloves. And he told me, you know, all he wanted was one. They stuck him with seven or eight. He's a five-tool player, and he has that six tool. That is his attitude.
There's too much down there, man.
If I should just have a celebrity smack-off, Shaquille in Scottsdale.
Check it.
All right. Let's go to Alan NoCal. Thanks for the find. The greatness of the Raiders is in the vertical game. Lane Kiffin is a lying rat. He will kill that university. Pearl will hate him. Summit will hate him. The entire state will hate him. War Casper, War John Madden. Good night now.
Let me stop right there. Al Davis was still very much alive at the point of that take. Alvy?
Nice to have you on the show, Jack. How are you?
Pretty good, Rome. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you.
I'm actually in the 310 this morning.
Nice.
Yeah. What's up with this cloudy weather?
You run hold 45 minutes to ask me what I thought about the weather. What do I look like? Johnny Mountain? Hey, Jack, what's up? Hey, Rome, I gotta tell you, man, these gas prices are crazy. Hey, yo, have you seen any good movies lately? What's up with the Dodgers would have won you the smack off by comparison? Hey, Rome, even in death, Roger Dangerfield can't get no respect. Kevin in Hollywood.
He's a Roger Dangerfield of goaltenders. He never gets any credit.
That was awesome. Hey, Romy. Did Don Cherry call Rodney Dangerfield Roger Dangerfield? Regards, Isaiah Thompson.
I'm glad to welcome you all and to welcome Isaiah Thompson as FIU's basketball coach.
Isaiah Thompson. That's not a misspeak. That's unforgivable.
Yeah!
Let's go to the phones quickly. Norman, Oklahoma. No way. Norman in Norman? How are you?
Remember a couple weeks ago, Jim, when Kyle Busch took a run at Dale Earnhardt Jr. saying that they had to do something to help Jr. win? Well, firing his crew chief, yeah, that really worked, didn't it? Not.
That's the first not joke I've heard on this or any show probably in a decade. Coming up in hour number three, Tiger Woods will be my guest. Not. Coming up the top of the third hour, I'm going to conference LeBron James and Tiger Woods with Peyton Manning for a three-way interview. Not. That was awesome. Norman in Norman. Not.
Yeah!
Greg Doyle joining us.
As for Tim Floyd, do you think I'm the kind of guy that gloats and says I told you so?
I do think you're that guy.
I told you so. Told everybody Tim Floyd was a scumbag, and the fact that he would quit right now before anybody's found anything technically wrong with him tells me that he's about to get caught being a scumbag. Bigger than Kelvin Sampson even dreamed of being a scumbag.
If you open your mind up to it and you watch MMA, it's pretty compelling. In fact, it's very compelling. Hey, Rome, of course MMA fans have weak arguments because they're freaking morons. And why are they freaking morons? Because they watch MMA. Next text says, hey, non-MMA fan, MMA fans can't articulate our arguments. How about I articulate your face? Regards, meatheads. MMA fan is starting to rally up. Nick in Green Bay.
Listening to the MMA thing kind of pumped me up and pissed me off. Oh, because fans like that like MMA, we're no class, right? Because last time I checked, the Eagle fan, they were the epitome of culture and class. Oakland fan, you guys are debonair and up straight. Last time I checked, MMA fighters were going into the stands and beating the hell out of fans.
Yeah! You guys see this video? It is awesome. Keith Aloy. This guy's got crazy hops. He doesn't need to say anything because he's got his crew.
It's real right here. No mirrors, no nothing.
And the crew had a message for Gilbert.
Dude that jumped out the pool ain't got nothing on my dog, man.
He literally, standing still.
Get him right. In a slipper.
He's able to jump over the door.
There you have it.
Into the back of the truck. It's incredible.
Jump out the pool on that.
Eat it, hud.
All right, let's go to the phones. Terrence in Sierra Madre.
Just like Andre Rison starting his own Hall of Fame, I held my own smack-off last week, and the winner of the first annual Terrence from Sierra Madre smack-off was none other than Terrence from Sierra Madre, free at last.
Hey.
Mike in Indy is back. What is up, Mike?
Rome, did I hear this correctly? Jason Whitlock's going to be in the smack-off next year. Why not just let Susan Waldman in?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Maybe we can mix in a little Boom Goes the Dynamite, kid.
And Boom Goes the Dynamite.
Good night now!
Dude, no wonder you tried to explain that ahead of time. That actually was a good throwback. That was kind of fun. You have improved dramatically. But you know what, though? There were certain moments of that were so classic. There was a Terrence from Sierra Madre call within. That was cool. That whole thing was cool. That was cool because I had no idea what to expect. That was incredibly organic. not to be confused with Ionic. Stucknut's back.
Ionic.
Quote, Alvy's first The Week That Was sounded great. Signed, the ponytail fill-in guy. No, the difference is, and respect, you can't knock the hustle. The ponytail fill-in guy who was running outside to burn heaters between segments wanted The Week That Was. I'm like, bro, that's a big ask. I really respect the ambition, but are you sure you want to do that? Oh, I got this. I got this. I got this. It was so bad, I pulled it right in the middle. Alvin made it from start to finish. That's so awesome. That's how that sounded. First time ever. And that listener, I wonder if he dropped in on the first one you ever did. And he's still here. It's kind of fun, Alvin. Alvin, what was that like for you to listen to? Given that you are the ultimate pro and perfectionist, what was that like for you as the ultimate craftsman to hear that? Quote, that was painful. I mean, dude, it wasn't your best work, but it was your first effort. I remember we had that conversation. I'm like, Alvin, I know you can contribute more. I know you can do more. You are a wizard, man. I have such unbelievable and profound faith in you. You can do this. You can do something like this every day. Dude, I'm not doing it every day. I'll do it once a week. I'll try it, all right? All right, let's start somewhere. Yeah, well, 15 years later, he's still only once a week. But damn, it's good. It's really good. That wasn't. That was good. That was fine. That's all right. Just goes to show, though, you just keep hammering away at your craft, and you get better and better and better and better and better. 10,000 hours.
Jump out the pool
10,000 hours. Jump out the pool on that. 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours. Then you're an outlier. Great job. Malcolm Gladwell thought that was brilliant, Ali. I love those great organic jungle moments. All right, when we come back, ATP. I want to guarantee a phone call. Help me guarantee a phone call. 1-800-636-8686. Here is your sports update. Also guaranteed. Wednesday, always an ATP day. Ask the pros. Where you get to submit a question to me, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So I like this. I understand that I've been on the air a long time. There are parts of the show that you hear and you hear frequently, but you don't understand what they are. And I've always said, just ask. Just ask. As an example, hey, Rome, I spent the last weekend saying, shake yourself.
Shake yourself.
At least 40 times. I couldn't shake it out of my head. Hey-o. What is the origin of that drop? He put the hey-o in there, not me. What is the origin of that drop? Thanks, Dave in Omaha. I'll do you one better, Dave. Not only will I tell you where it's from, I will play the entirety of the call. This is where shake yourself comes from. This goes back more than 20 years. 20 years. This was Rex Hudler, former MLB-er and great friend of the program, in 2001. He told this incredible story.
I'm with the Cardinals. I'm sitting on the top step of the dugout at Busch Stadium, and all of a sudden, something hit my head. Felt like a peanut. Somebody hit me in the head. I took off my hat and looked at it, and there was the most beautiful bug I ever saw in my life. Yellow, red, green, different colors. So I was tripping on this bug, and I took it off, and I showed him to my teammates on the bench. I go, look at this thing. Have you guys ever seen anything like it? And the bug wouldn't fly away. So Tom Pagnozzi cracks, eat it, Hud. And I said, oh, come on, man. And then my wheel started turning. These guys, maybe they'll pay me. So I said, okay, hey, I'll eat the bug if you pay me. And they go, okay, how about 10 bucks? And I said, shake yourself. You're a major leaguer making big iron. And you're going to offer me 10 bucks for that? I paused for a minute. I looked at him. 100 bucks, Pagnozzi said. I said, okay. I went down the line. Bryn Smith, 100 bucks. Frank DePino, 100 bucks. All these guys, Joe McGrain, 100, 100, 100. I got to $800, Romy, and they said, we have a stipulation. You have to chew the bug up. And I said, okay, I got a stipulation. I don't chew it up unless the money's in my hand. So here we are in the sixth inning. We're down five runs, and they get up off the bench, go into their valuable box inside, pull out their cash. They come running back out. They put the cash in my hand. I got cash in one hand, bug in the other. Heck, it was a no-brainer. I put the cash in my pocket. I popped that bug in my mouth like a sunflower seed, chewed it up, and showed him to my teammates on my tongue. And to get the reaction, I wish I had a video, because my players were tripping. They were going, oh, HUD, look at that. And as I chewed him up, he actually tasted like bacon, and it was the easiest money I ever made. So in the meantime, the team goes back out on the field. We score seven runs, take the lead, and win the game. Therefore, it did its purpose. It put some money in the pocket of me for doing it, and it helped motivate the team to win. I call it the rally bug, and I'm so grateful you let me tell the story.
One of my favorite stories ever. I mean, that holds up. That was 2001. Rex Hudler told that story on the show. The rally bug. It's one of the most baseball things ever, right? Because baseball is the longest season ever. The games are so long. The guys are together so many hours out of every single day. They have to do things to amuse themselves. It's so long. So that's when the most baseball thing ever is a bug hitting a guy in the head. The guy thinking it's a peanut, realizing it's a bug, holding it up and admiring it. These beautiful colors, a multicolored insect, and one of his teammates saying, eat it, HUD.
Eat it, HUD.
Like, is that not the most baseball thing ever? Tom Pagnozzi, great player.
Eat it, HUD.
Not like, you know, whatever, that's a bug, man. Just flick it. Get rid of it. We're trying to play a game here. No, eat it, HUD.
Eat it, HUD.
Like, it's a damn good thing a rat didn't run across the ground in that dugout. Incredible, Alvin. I don't know how you knew I was going there. Then Pagnozzi would have been like, eat it, HUD.
Eat it, HUD.
What if a dog got loose? It's a good thing it was just a bug.
Tom
a June
Pagnozzi.
Bug. What if it were a big rat? What if it was like old Veterans Stadium and it was a rat? Eat it, HUD. And if a June bug is worth 100, what's a rat worth? We have a stipulation. You have to chew that rat up. Yeah, well, I've got a stipulation. I want that 10 grand in my hand, because you're not eating a full rat, a live rat, for under 10 grand, are you?
A million.
For a million. That is so good. So that's where that came from. Hi, Jim. Do you know the birthdays of every member of the XR4TI? Thanks, Bell B in Calgary. If by do I know the birthdays of every member of the XR4TI, you mean I don't know the birthday of even one since Ritt is gone, then yes, I know every one of their birthdays. No, of course not, Bella. I don't know any of their birthdays. Why do I have to? Why do I have to? Don't you think it's more weird that I would than that I don't? Like, oh, that's easy. Alvin's June 13th, and old Chalk over there, he's a Libra. He's October 9th, and Jack Savage, the first thing I asked him when he came here was, when's your birthday, Savage, and how many people have you killed? No, Bella, I don't know any of their birthdays. Two reasons. One, I don't care. Hello, there's that. And two, Cindy does. I don't need to. Cindy does. Cindy brings in birthday cakes for everybody's birthday. How she knows, I don't know. The only extra, and it's really nice. Another reason why I don't need to know, because Cindy does. The only XR4TI's birthday in the history of the XR4TI that I knew was Ritt, because we had the same birthday. October 14th. Ritt.
Thank you.
Me. John Wooden. Dwight Eisenhower. Thomas Dolby. Stephen A. Smith. I know all their birthdays. Dodger Jano. It's my wife. I got to be real. I'm not even sure I know my kids' birthdays. Why would I know the XR4TI? I know what month Logan was born in. Or was that Jake? I don't even know what year they were born. I know what country they were born in. I know what state they were born in. I know who their dad is. No, Bella, I do not know the birthdays of even one member of the XR4TI. I know their names. The only thing I want to know about the XR4TI that I don't know is how many people Savage has killed. And when I know, you'll know. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. There's your Wednesday show. My thanks to Jordan Addison, Tom Pelissero. I've got Mac Brown coming up on the Jim Rome podcast. I am going to tape that in about 15 minutes. We'll push that out within, I don't know, an hour, 90 minutes. And you don't want to miss that. Mac's always good. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. We are out.